Welcome to Go Home Heat, a wrestling podcast. We have here a full house, Ray, the Go Home Heat kid, New Japan, Jared, hello. Justin.
Yes, yes, y'all.
Yes, yes, y'all. A bridge to get you from one verse to the other. Yes, yes, y'all. AEW Dark. We're going to talk pro wrestling right here on this thing, and we have also got a pay-per-view tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Which should be wonderful. The AEW Dark, you got to watch some of it, you said.
Some of it, yeah.
So we'll just kind of blow through that quickly. You got to watch Dark?
I did not get to watch Dark. That's the one thing I did miss.
Okay. Hikaru Shida versus Donnie Jordan.
Wow. Was that a great match?
It was okay. It was pretty good.
I thought it was great, but it was good. I thought Shida was very good. Yeah, in this, and I was expecting less.
The Danny Jordan girl's pretty good, and that match ended up being better.
It was better than what I've seen her in lately, right?
I have to say, it very much surpassed my expectations.
That's saying something. I'll take that. Well, improvement's what you want.
What was it I said about her earlier today? I said they were talking about how great, how she's on the cusp of being an international star in the AEW show thing, right? Because she's wrestling. And I was like, at some point, you wonder, will her potential ever be your path? You know what I mean? Because right now, it's not. The potential's there, but she's not following that road for whatever reason. Yeah. And we hope that she will.
I want to say her moveset's been slightly different lately in an improved fashion. It seems like she's doing, I don't know how to describe it, but it just seems like the things that I didn't like her to do, she's doing less.
There you go.
Which is improvement.
I'm just happy that you say she's doing better, and I'm just hopefully she makes the rest of the week without crippling another wrestler.
Okay. We can hope.
Then there's that.
We can hope.
QT Marshall versus Clutch Adams. Marshall gets the cutter and the win. You saw that?
Yeah.
It was okay. It was all right, yeah. Marco Stunt versus Jason Cade. See that?
Fun little match.
It was fun, right. They just threw so much at you with
this
whole thing.
Stop making Marcus Stunt jokes, little match.
Jimmy Havoc, Kip Sabian with Penelope versus Lee Johnson and Musa. I like the Lee Johnson and Musa.
Yeah, those guys are great.
Acid Rainmaker with the package DDT winds up being the 1-2-3 move, but the main takeaway for this is when they do get to leave Jacksonville, I hope they wind up taking Johnson and Musa on the road.
I hope so, dude.
You know, Ray Phoenix versus Sean Dean.
Saw this one, too.
It was pretty good.
Pretty good.
Then we go to Luther versus John Cruz.
Deathmatch legend.
Okay, let's talk about this, because I...
Go ahead.
I like Luther. I'll say it. I like Luther.
What's wrong with that?
He goes out there and he screams, and I don't know if y'all have seen Adventure Time, but there's a character that sounds exactly like that, Lemon Grab.
Unacceptable!
He literally just sounds like Lemon Grab, and every time I see him, I'm just like, this guy rules. Mm-hmm. I want this weird old bald man to be screaming at me.
Yes.
I don't care what, like, so, he goes in the match and he does weird things and he does like eye rakes and stuff, but he just sits there and he just screams. It's great. I don't know. I love it.
Right.
It's a gimmick that I thought would be taken too seriously, but he's just like a weird, I don't know. It's great. I love it.
So Uncle Festus is a wrestler?
Yes.
Uncle Festus is a wrestler?
Also, that he's old kind of allows it to not be, I'm going for the intimidation factor, even though he is, if that makes sense.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It allows it to be somewhere between shtick and effective.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I thought it was, I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Right. Private Party, Isaiah Cassidy and Mark Queen versus Ryan Rembrandt and Mike Reed. Taz does not know who Rembrandt is. Did you see this match?
Dude, yes.
During the commentary,
Taz doesn't know who the wrestler Rembrandt is or the artist Rembrandt.
He thought it was a musician.
Incorrect.
And
wow.
That's what happens when you get dropped on your
and
head for a lot of years.
And Excalibur said, you could say he was the Mozart of artists.
Wow.
Excalibur's good, dude.
Wow, that was vicious. That was a red hook on Taz right there.
This match was kind of just, I mean, I get it that it's an internet match, whatever, but it was just so busy. The private party, they can get to a point where they're just trying to do so much in a match, and it's like, man, that requires so much cooperation. You know what I mean? That it's just
you've lost me at a point.
They've lost the structure of the match.
Right. Well, and you could tell too. They're wrestling. You know, this Rembrandt and Reed's the veteran is what they called him in the last thing, and you can almost see the guys they're wrestling having to kind of count by numbers to remember what spot's next and how mm-hmm. it's going to go. And it's just kind of, it's just busy. That's
all. It was a little busy, yeah.
Sammy Gravea versus Alan Angels. And I know you guys love Sammy, and I don't dislike Sammy, but what he is capable of and what I get when he's wrestling people that aren't good wrestlers drives me. It's like, I remember I had the same problem with Seth when he got out of the Shield, is when he was wrestling in a scenario where he's supposed to win, he mm-hmm. spends a lot of time just doing nothing.
Yes.
Right? And just being arrogant about himself.
Well, yes. Think about both of their roles in their respective factions. Yeah. Seth, if you watch this Shield match, Seth gets tossed around for like half to two thirds of it.
Right, correct.
And he does a great job. He's fantastic. He's a great seller.
Right.
But that was all he was doing for a while. You know what
correct.
I mean?
He was definitely the guy to take the beating.
Right, but I don't know who decided that when you're a heel, you have to waste time between moves.
Oh, it's annoying.
But it's one thing if it's a big man. Like if Archer takes time between moves,
it's terrifying.
It makes sense because what he did looked like it would hurt.
Yeah.
Because he's so huge. But when you have Seth do that, he's not as big of a person, so he needs to change some things together to look. And they do that in this company. The two people that I think wind up trying to do this and it hurts them the most are Sammy and Britt, because they yes. wind up in situations where okay, walk around and act arrogant. Well, why? I mean, she's 120 pounds.
Yeah.
Probably not. You know what I mean? And so it didn't look like it hurt, so why are we wasting time?
Keep beating on somebody.
If she does three things and then does that, it begins to make Sammy too. Sammy never... We were down to the end of this thing when he finally...
chains three or four moves together?
Right, that was the finish.
Yeah.
He should have been chaining three or four moves together and then losing the pin.
It's like in a video game. You've got your characters who are your big characters, and they're designed to hit super hard moves one at a time. Then you've got your smaller guys. They're designed usually to hit combos.
Right.
You should be combo moving.
Right.
You should have like a 5-hit sequence of maneuvers or a 6-hit, and then you should have, you know.
I mean, you see it with guys like AJ or Ibushi as a good example.
Yes,
has
very much so.
Strike combos and stuff like that where they just go through the moves. Or Jay White.
Yeah.
But Aleister Black.
Even as a heel, AJ was far enough along that nobody told him how to be a heel.
Yes.
Yeah.
When he comes to the States, the WWE version of the States.
Yes.
When whoever makes up that rule in the WWE that you have to walk around and waste time when you're mm-hmm. heel didn't get to say that to AJ.
No.
Because he...
Could you imagine trying?
To tell AJ anything, right? Right.
Yeah.
Hey, you need to wrestle this way. Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
You don't tell Ty Cobb how to hit. You know what I mean?
No. And so, you don't try to fix that.
Right. And I just wish... Because everything you need to be fantastic is in Sammy Guevara.
It's the pacing.
It's all in there.
He sells great.
And what... To that, my point later on when he wrestles Hardy, that's really we'll get there. But I thought that was really good, and it kind of made me feel better because I was
He made Hardy look like a superstar, dude.
Right?
That match went perfectly to plan.
Right. Now then we wind up with Darby Allin and Serpentico at the end, and I'm not 100% sure Serpentico is really a luchador. He seemed a little off. I don't know if they just.
Is his name Leon?
Oh my god. It was so
Leon, put on this mask and get out there and wrestle. We're gonna call you Serpentico.
Oh my god, it was so crazy. And Darby did well.
Is he a luchador cop who was like the only honest cop, and then they betrayed him, and that's why he has to wear a luchador mask and he wrestles to but he's still is it Serpico and a serpent?
It's both.
Serpentico is the luchador Serpico.
He's gonna go heel when he tells on everybody.
Yes.
Oh my god. Okay, but it was a fun little. These episodes of Dark aren't little anymore.
No,
we're going into an hour now. You know what I mean? Which is
look how many matches you had.
Yeah, which is fun, but
I'm also glad that those indie guys get the opportunity to wrestle more matches.
Correct. And I hope there were probably three guys that I saw wrestle that I thought that guy, I hope they take him on the road with them.
Lee Johnson, Musa, definitely. I mean, they tagged a lot, so I don't know if you want to count that as one.
And Rembrandt was the other one. Alan Angels, I think, is in the company. I don't know if he is or not, but he was good. That's why I thought
he did a couple matches I liked. I saw him wrestle
when he wrestled Guevara. That's what I thought. I thought this is going to be pretty good, and his part of it was, and Sammy's wasn't. And I'm like, that's not right because Sammy's too good for me not to. really enjoy this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, right, right. Okay. Now, NWA Carnyland, what did we think about that?
I loved it.
I thought it was fun.
I thought it was really fun.
I love the generic heel promo. I thought that segment was great.
For Allison K. Oh man, it's always fun to see them like deconstruct something like that because it is. I mean, I've seen so many promos that were just like that.
Right, right. And I felt like basically they said we're going to take this time when we can't really wrestle to let you in on who our characters actually are. And when this is over, you'll have a wrestling show, and then you also have 9 different shows on.
It's like if you watch animes, little OVAs at the end of it, where they'll have like, this isn't anything in the main plot. This is just us hanging out and doing something ridiculous behind the scenes, and it just gives you insight in the characters.
Right.
I like that. I think it's a cool little, fun little...
A little... Pull back the curtain a little.
Yeah.
Let me see who they are. And even let me see who you want them to be, even if it's not who they really are.
I loved old Nick Aldis. I lived being Brutus Magnus. I know how bad it is. You don't have to tell me. Oh, dude.
What was y'all's favorite segment from that?
I kind of like Eli Drake.
Oh, Eli was hilarious, dude.
I need to watch his like specific episode where he talks, but it was just countdown until I get fired was great.
Yes, right,
it was a great tagline.
Yeah.
I really like the Josephus segment where he talks about how you can pre-order his book on how to be a champion that he has not written yet. But as soon as he becomes a champion, I think his estimate was like 2032 or something like that.
I like the Mongrovian...
the Mongrovian like little documentary.
That was good too. Yes. Damien Sandow.
Oh my right. The comedic timing of stuff in that was so perfect.
His timing is next level for a wrestler. I'm not saying he's like spectacular. I don't know. I've not seen him do another... but for a wrestler, his comedic timing is...
Yeah, he's very good.
Fun little segment. I'll watch it.
Absolutely. So we feel like Corgan said in an interview this week that, you know, the companies that are wrestling right now that you can see are owned by billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not. You know what I mean? And so hopefully this can keep the palate
wedded. Yes. And it did a good job for
everybody. Yeah,
I miss those guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great stuff.
Getting them once a week doing their own thing will be good for a little bit.
Perfectly fine with
me. Impact Wrestling was next, and we're going to blow through this fairly quickly in the interest of time because...
Not a whole lot happened.
It wasn't a lot going on that was good. But B, AEW is a big deal this week.
Yes.
So we'll move on pretty quickly.
Go home show.
Rhino and Ace...
Go to the hospital show.
Ace winds up having a much better match than I thought was possible with Rhino.
Ace Austin versus Rhino.
Yes.
That was pretty good.
Ace wins on the fold, and he's going to move on in this number one contender's tourney. Moose is going to beat up Josh at some point if Josh doesn't quit asking him about the fake title.
I did appreciate the honesty in that segment where Josh wasn't even like pretending to go along with him. He's like, how long is this farce or something?
Yes.
How long is this farce going to keep going on? And then Moose said something to the effect of, if I don't leave right now, I'm going to put your head through the TV.
Kiera Hogan and Tasha Steele. Steele seems to be another member of the Impact show now, and they have found common ground. We're looking to see if they wind up being together. Dave Chris with Jake and Madman versus Crazy Steve. Crazy Steve winds up getting the win, which leads to the real story here, which is Madman Fulton leaving the OVE, which I guess they can just be the Chris brothers now.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's the Chris brothers versus everything.
Fulton had to leave, though, because they had been talking him up like he's a contender, and then
he had lost,
he's
like,
in this crew that loses, and he's losing, too. Mm-hmm. So they had to move him on in order to rebuild him. Triple XL versus TJP and Fella Ball. This was fine. It was good.
Pretty good.
Little good spot where TJP jumped off of one of the big boys' backs onto the other big boy.
To do like
cool.
a spinning DDT.
Did
nice.
Not, cool. Did not budge that big dude.
Yeah, when he jumped on him, literally it was like a table. He didn't move at all.
That's hard to do.
you got to be big.
This is a big boy.
Suicide. We don't know who Suicide is yet.
Christopher Daniels.
Getting two checks.
They did a lion salt, so Chris Jericho.
Was he at, no? He was he ever Suicide? He might.
I don't
what
think
was
he? Was
he
ever,
no, he was.
Chris Jericho was never in Impact.
No, so.
No.
I don't know who it is.
Was Frankie Kazarian Suicide for
I
a little bit?
I think Frankie Kazarian was Suicide for
also,
a little
I
bit.
Also, I think Daga and Tessa are stuck in Mexico, so it wasn't Daga.
But maybe Michael Elgin's right, and Tessa's just ducking him from Mexico, and Daga actually is over here being suicide.
Maybe Michael Elgin is suicide.
Nope. Moose dominates early. Suicide winds up coming back, and then Moose gets the win. Michael Elgin promo. We won't really talk about that much. He compares himself. He compared himself to Ali and Conor McGregor.
Man, yep. Did he compare himself to a wizard?
Are you saying that when you hear Michael Elgin speak, you just don't hear static?
I heard him.
Just like monotone static?
I had caption on, closed caption.
You got to do what you got to do.
He needs subtitling.
He basically said,
he's a ghost writer.
Ali and McGregor said they were the greatest before they were the greatest, and I'm doing the same thing here, so whatever. Johnny Swinger going to make up a quick work out of Willie Mack. He'll be back in 5, as he tells Chris Bay. And then he goes out and promptly loses. But
it was about 5 minutes, I mean.
And yes, and then Chris Bay comes out. Swinger hits him after the bell, and then Chris Bay comes out. So we're getting a program eventually with Willie Mack and Chris Bay. And Johnny Swinger, as Chris Bay is beating that dude up, is like,
finally, somebody that gets me.
Yeah, he's got a new partner. Johnny Swinger and Chris Bay. Nothing in common at all.
Johnny Swinger, every single week, manages to be entertaining.
Yes, and cannot wrestle a lick.
It's so funny. It's crazy. It's just like that gimmick has not gotten old in the slightest for me. Every week, I'm just like, this guy's gonna go out there and be a clown
and stink up the joint. And
I love it. I love every second of it.
Speaking of stinking up the joint, the main event is Sami Callihan and Michael Elgin.
The Thumb Wizard.
And it was exactly what you thought it would be. It was 25 minutes of
plotting.
People slapping each other and what are supposed to be really big, interesting moves that aren't. Then it ended. And that was the end of that show. All right, AEW Dynamite. Moxley versus 10. What did we think about that?
Pretty good.
It was
all right. I mean, it was what you expected to be.
Yeah. What'd you think of old boy's promo before that? Did you like it?
Refresh my memory.
When what's his name? The Dark Order's leader now.
Brody Lee
came out there and gave the whole speech and made 10 a night and everything. And
well, it was there to set up the fact that later he was going to let him get his arm broke, right?
Yes.
And that's what winds up happening, okay? And I did like it because I liked the end result, which is no matter how important you are to me, the most important thing is...
me.
You would say the grand scheme, but to simplify it, me. You know?
Well, in the great cult leaders make the grand scheme them, you know?
Correct.
I'm not doing this because I want to do this. I'm doing this because it's the right thing to do. It just happens to benefit me. Is it just a strange occurrence of the universe?
I like...
all part of...
the greater plan.
One thing I love about Moxley, and this is where I think the comparisons to Austin have been off a little bit, but I think this is one place that it is okay. Having a champ that can't really do a squash match because he's not huge is great. And he doesn't have a whole lot of moves.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to brawl with whoever you stick him in there with. And he did go through this guy in the way that he had... he was going to win the whole time.
Yeah.
But it was still a physical, tough...
it was an interesting match. I liked
match.
I did not have a problem with the match at all.
And him going... go ahead.
I did want to point out that that is the second time he has used the Gotch-style pile driver.
I know. I was thinking the same thing. Shout out to Minoru Suzuki.
Yes. I just wanted to point that out because I love it. He also started... he uses like a sliding lariat ever since his match with Ishii. I like that he's incorporating different moves from his opponents. It feels very natural...
yeah.
As a progression to a wrestler.
It feels like he's building a character.
Yes.
And I appreciate that. I think that is, he's thinking long term, and he's integrating things like, this is like a, you know, instead of having a little badge that says, I fought Minoru Suzuki, it's, I use a Gotch-style pile driver. Or, I went through Ishii, I use this sliding lariat, you know.
Also, the pile driver kind of symbolized, I'm trying to hurt this guy.
Yes. It shows you which character he's in tapping into. He's tapping into a vicious, mean...
right. Along with the two DDTs. Along with the... he threw a chair and literally hit the dude with it on accident.
That was brutal by accident.
But all of his movements are a no concern for anybody's well-being, including his own.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I'm willing to go through whatever. And when he says to Brody, you know, come out here and save your man's arm, and Brody chooses not to, he just breaks his arm right there and moves on. And I thought this was good. I thought it set up both characters.
Mm-hmm.
I feel I'm excited about them.
I'm excited about this match.
In a couple hours, this is going to be great.
It's going to be, it's going to be tough. I think these guys are going to smack each other hard.
Well, I think that John is going to, he's going to win, but he's going to get hurt.
Oh, dude.
You know, and maybe not like hurt, but it's going to be a rough night for him.
Brody Lee, dude, I'm excited to see him really get to wrestle outside of WWE. I want to see what he brings to the table because I like the dude.
And he's also in there with, and what he saw, what he was able to do with Daniels last time.
Yes.
A week ago. Again, whets the appetite a little bit of what he might could do with a Mox who's in his prime.
I feel like the style matchup is going to work in their favor for this one.
I like to go through anything, including punishment. I enjoy giving people punishment, and I'm a huge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a good matchup.
Yes.
For the Observer. All right. MJF versus Marco Stunt was next. What y'all think?
Went about what you would think it would be, which is fine.
Dude, I thought old Marco did a good job with MJF, actually. MJF got to play the bully, which is his character. I'll tell you the thing that I enjoyed their match. I thought Marco got enough offense to make it, you know, okay. I was not expecting him to win. But making him eat his booger was funny. It's a funny spot. But I have a problem with something that happened after the match because I have a problem with something that happened after the match last week. And I've said this before about Jurassic Express. Why do they let the one guy go out there by himself and get pummeled? Or why does Wardlow get to pummel Marco Stunt in front of you and you go run over and point at him? You're a dinosaur, dude, and you just let your boy get hammered and you just stand there like you got nothing to do?
The disrespect.
Here's what I wrote.
I hate that writing.
Here's what I wrote to your point. Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy save. Wardlow walks out of the ring, literally side by side with the heroes.
Yeah.
Nothing. Not one punch is thrown. Nothing between them but air and opportunity. And air was too much to overcome.
It annoys me, dude.
You ran from the back to protect your friend.
And did nothing.
Stood beside a dude as he walked away from
you. And then Wardlow almost fell over. So you had the opportunity.
You could have just pushed him.
Could have just pushed him, man. Just been.
Then he had to push you. Just nudge him with your hip.
Yeah, oops. Dude.
See, Wardlow slipped at the beginning of the match, too. He was walking up the steps.
Walking is not. See, he's no Braun Strowman, my friend.
Braun Strowman can walk. He can run.
He can run at things hit them.
Yes.
And that's
Wardlow should be more like Braun Strowman.
I think he is, unfortunately.
No. We only need one Braun. Nothing against you, but.
But yes. To your point.
Jake Roberts and Arn talk next. Go ahead. Did you want to go back to what you were about to say there?
No, I just, I don't know.
It annoys me. Yeah.
I wish baby faces weren't so dumb.
You know why it annoys you? I'm going to tell you why it annoys you.
Tell me.
Because Cody, early on, when he had his thing with Jericho, Jericho was through the crowd away from him.
Yes.
And Cody made a point of saying,
there's no
this company
wall.
Ain't like that. There aren't invisible walls. I can just come up there and fight you. And then he fought him all over the room.
Yeah.
Well, he set a tone right there that I expected them to continue with. And it's one thing if I'm 40 feet away from you. But when there's no distance between us, I'm supposed to want to hit
I'm
you.
Swinging.
I should hit you. Last week when he jumps Marco Stunt right in front of him, and he comes and stands over Stunt, looks at him, and just points.
Right.
Dude,
you're a dinosaur, for God's sakes.
You don't. Come on.
Right. Okay. Speaking of dinosaurs, Jake Roberts and Arn Anderson.
What a segue.
Up next.
Whoa.
Jake. What did y'all think about this?
I don't remember it all.
Nobody died?
Okay.
No spontaneous.
Jay, I did. I thought it was a little overstatement to say that everybody always asked Arn Anderson about being in the ring with Jake Snake Roberts. I don't think that was.
Nobody ever asked.
Nobody ever asked that. I don't believe that. I did not believe that either one of those men was going to hit each other because I don't believe that AEW has enough insurance for that.
Well, the one thing that I did. I thought I didn't particularly care for it, right? But when Jake interrupted Arn and said something, Arn,
oh, he got that look, didn't he?
Arn's face went to the enforcer for a second.
Yeah.
And he was like, man, don't interrupt me again. You know what I mean? And yeah. It was just like, oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Arn, and when Arn went to the whole, you do DDP yoga now.
Uh-huh.
That'll be good when I shove your head up here.
Uh-huh.
I almost felt like he was mocking him because he was like, dude, you acting like you willing to fight me. Come on, man, Jake. It's been a long time since you should be fighting anybody.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And Father Time and you are in too big of a right. fight for you to take any effort out of it.
Right. And I feel like, too, that almost is a way of Jake maybe has the same frustration I do is why aren't we talking more about Archer?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the other thing was when he said, you know, I told Archer he could have Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man.
That's ridiculous.
You don't want Tyson.
Nobody wants Tyson. Unless you were a professional boxer with many years of experience or a professional MMA fighter or somebody. And then still, you know for a fact that it could end at any second if that man puts a fist on you.
Dude, First of all, you're saying... Go ahead.
He was calling back to the great Inoki Ali battle. Excuse you?
Right.
I guarantee you, Antonio Inoki would much rather be in the ring with Muhammad Ali than ever be in the ring with Tyson.
That is a fact.
Tyson
would have smoked him.
Well, even at Tyson's advanced age, and he's been on Milan lately showing that he can still throw punches.
Woof, can't
I remember there was an incident in boxing, and I just want to tell the story. George Foreman's by Mike Lampley.
Things go crazy, yes. And they're fighting. That was when the dude came into the ring and the parachute
into the ring.
And everybody went nuts.
And Rock Newman's people start hammering the dude with cell phones, which back then were the size of bricks.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like
Well, you could hear over the speaker, this guys are coming towards Lampley. And George Foreman says, "You don't want to do that, buddy." And they walked away, and then when they cut back and everything got calmed down, Lampley thanked that dude for saving his life. But nobody, as much as all those people thought they wanted to fight and you had a bunch of bodyguards walking around, none of them wanted to see what would happen if George Foreman at 60 put a paw on him.
No.
It'll
kill you, dude.
Tyson will kill you. Ray might not remember because he's probably got CTE. So.
Yeah. I don't remember killing
it. It just happened.
I did not know what happened.
Ray Phoenix
red.
Versus Orange Cassidy. I thought this was very, very good.
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it until Ray Phoenix got injured, and it was a great match.
Okay, so after
probably the best thing I've seen Orange Cassidy do.
Let's say the match was good. The match, both those guys are really talented. I love watching Phoenix.
And this is the point in which you text me, I wish they would hire some luchadors that can catch people.
I wish they would have some kind of short seminar.
Because
what was funny is they missed all three guys. So it was Colt Cabana, Kip Sabian, and Fenix that did dives and stuff. And all three of them were missed in a different fashion,
mm-hmm.
which was the impressive.
Did Cassidy do a dive too?
Cassidy hit
I think
the
they caught Cassidy, though.
Yeah.
No, Cassidy.
I think Cassidy's feet hit the rail.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, like Phoenix was too short. Like, as in, he landed short of them. They all turned and faced him, and then they didn't take one
stride up.
Nobody
took a step forward, dude. And their legs hit, and it basically just turned him into a power bomb.
Yeah.
On himself.
He power bombed himself down onto that mat.
And Colt literally hit it perfectly and somehow went between them all.
Dude, they parted like the Red Sea, dog. Like
it was like if you've ever been to a concert and you jumped off the stage to crowd surf.
Yeah.
And everybody saw you coming and just parted on you, dude. It was like, oh no!
And then Orange overshot him and hit his feet on the railing.
Yeah, he was terrified that he was going to get shorted, so he took it too far.
I thought Orange hit the concrete.
Orange hit something wrong.
Oh, anyway, so catch people. Rose Baker.
Oh man.
Let's keep the hits coming, buddy.
Okay, so
rough 30 minutes
of wrestling.
It was physical.
Because I thought that he got injured. I thought Orange Cassidy got injured on an earlier spot in that match, I think.
There was a spot he took that looked rough.
But this is a good spot to go into the ladder match for the chance to fight for the title because Phoenix got knocked out of it. So we got to put somebody in there. And they put Joey Janela in with Darby Allin, Colt Cabana, Orange Cassidy, Scorpio Sky, Kip Sabian, Kazarian, Luchasaurus, and participant. Who's the participant?
Mystery participant. Who's your guess for mystery participant?
I'm going to go with my original first thing. I'm going to go Wardlow.
Who you got?
Because they don't have a big man in it.
I'm going to go for wild card and say...
Sting.
Sting. Not Sting. Under contract with WWE anymore.
RoboCop?
Sting and or... Sting with RoboCop. No. Indie Darling. Chris Hero. I'll throw my hat in the ring for Chris Hero.
I think it's Jeff Cobb.
I was about to say that would be my second pick.
And I think Jeff Cobb wins because he's the one that makes the most sense.
Dude.
Fighting
I
want to
see Jeff Cobb versus Mox.
Yeah.
That I love sense, that. Right? I love that fantasy book, and I'm gonna say I hope you're already. Right.
Yeah, I hope.
They had that match already on episode Dynamite. Remember?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it'll be great.
Ray, do you have a
who's your
guess
call?
For your the ninth participant?
Braun
Strowman. He says.
Pirate Paul Burchill.
Pirate yes. Paul Burchill. Bring back Paul Burchill.
Swing in from the raft.
I thought you were gonna say Pineapple Pete. But
speaking of great gimmicks, Statlander, Sheeta. Baker, Rose, all wind up in a match together, and it was a bit of... You didn't think it was too bad.
No, okay. Okay. Mm. Let's put this into perspective. Some of their other matches
have been... If you have to start that way.
Listen, I'm just saying, this was an improvement, and for most of the match, stuff looked fine. It looked incredible?
By improvement, do you mean that all four wrestlers complete the match without being injured?
No. No, can't go there.
Can't go there.
I have no rebuttal. Okay. You know what? Honestly,
because and then Sheeta almost killing your champion at the end spot onto the when she DDT'd her onto
and
that
she
table.
She almost decapitated herself in the process too.
Yes.
This was like a show wide problem where they just did
safety
too much.
Yes.
Like it was just
And they didn't take. They did it too fast. They didn't take precautions. Reminds me of like some fly-by-night organization where you're not worried about getting people hurt because they're going to be in another promotion next week. But that, it just, I was, there was too many missed.
I don't know what was
not
going
only that,
on.
Let me,
thought it was the beginning of baseball season, all them swing and misses out there. But anyway, yeah, I couldn't believe it because she, go ahead.
There is a certain botch where, They picked up Nyla.
They did
Hikaru Shida and Chris Statlander picked up Nyla, and you could tell they could barely pick her up. And when they went in to throw her into Baker, they missed her completely.
No,
well,
they didn't.
They missed her everything but her knee.
They missed the whole corner and dropped her on the girl's knee and hurt the girl's leg.
ACL.
Even worse than missing her altogether.
And the reason they did it, if you look at it, was... I'm pretty sure Sheeta was on the left-hand side and...
Stabs on the right.
And there's a significant height, strength difference. So she got that way, side left ways on her. And it was
rough, dude.
It was nasty. I saw it. I knew it when she landed on her knee like that, that was not well.
Oh, I will say, to Chris Statlander's credit, she immediately recognized that something was wrong. She does a... Whatever her move is, where she scoops her up, she grabbed the hurt leg, and scooped her up, so she never had to, Britt never had to support herself with that leg.
Yeah.
Scooped her up, got into the pinning position, and then literally looked at Nyla, and said, like, did a quick motion to come here and break the pin up, and then Nyla drags her back to the corner and tags out.
Yeah,
I will say that was well handled.
Statlander is the out of theirs. I say Statlander and Nyla Rose are pretty close to each other as far as like, I think I'll say Nyla Rose is a little better. But Statlander's close.
She's got a lot of potential.
But
she swings and misses a lot.
Though. She does.
The athletic is there, but the technique
is. She may have noticed that the leg was injured because she threw her right on the leg.
Yes.
Shame. You got front row seat to that. Participation in it.
Yes.
Which one was the hit where it was when Britt Baker went in for the hot tag? When she went in for the I think it was Chris Statlander. She had her by the leg. Britt Baker went for the enziguri, went completely over her head.
Statlander missed her enziguri, and I will say that
Britt went ahead and sold it anyway.
Britt went ahead.
In all honesty, those things just happened.
She was already going that way.
Will Ospreay miss a dropkick in the Tokyo Dome. It happens.
Yeah.
It happens to everyone.
You couldn't have done a Rob Van Dam and got on your second leg and do that?
Looking.
She was
looking at the corner.
Think about the names you just used. Statlander and Baker. You couldn't have just done a Rob Van Dam right there?
Yeah. There's a reason that there is one
Rob Van Dam. Is about as good as it's ever been.
Yeah, especially at that particular set of moves that you're talking about.
And they ain't there yet.
I also understand taking not trying to kick someone in the head. Right. Taking extra precaution. Right. But again, that's with time, with practice, I think she can get
accidentally stiffing someone is never anything that Britt Baker's been against.
Or against her. She got her nose broke.
Well, right now she's on the show. So get well, Britt.
Yeah, we're rooting for you.
Yeah. Matt Hardy versus Sammy's next.
Penelope Ford replaced Britt Baker in the Statlander match.
I'm excited about that, actually.
I actually you know what? I like that.
Listen. I am excited about that. They should get some time. They should be able to work. Mm-hmm. You agree?
Oh, yes.
It's an opportunity.
I was not about to say something unkind towards a hurt person. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, it's not a good day for that. Matt Hardy versus Sammy Guevara.
Rough go.
Yeah.
Matt was great, I thought, and it probably had a lot to do with Sammy. Yes. And Hardy gets the twist of fate after he gets the knees.
The first twist of fate that Sammy blocked, he's done that block move before for other people's kind of like cutter slash those kind of moves, but I love it. I love catching myself with my hands and posting back up. I thought it was slick.
Right.
And then he's Shawn Michaels. Sold that the next one where he just, you know, Shawn Michaels and RVD had a baby and it was Sammy Guevara selling that.
Right, right. Then we wind up with Hardy going for the chair because he's going to put an end to Sammy.
For taking out Vanguard.
But Jericho interrupts and they have abducted Kenny Omega and we get a brawl.
What?
In the stadium.
Did you see what else they did to Kenny Omega to deface him?
They cut the stomach out of his shirt?
No, what else did they do, too?
What?
Did you notice they cut him jorts? They cut him into jorts.
I almost couldn't see him.
Jacksonville's a big UF town.
I know, that's my point. That's my point, dude.
It's jort country, baby.
It's jort country. Yes. From Jacksonville to Gainesville is jort country.
You know, Florida might be giving old Hangman a contract if him a scholarship if he doing the 100-yard dash down there in cowboy boots.
Right. Now, that it does wind up being quite a little spectacle there with the Bucks, and we get Paige back, so we're going to get him at
here again, let me point this out. Begs the question, if the Bucks were there, Why did they let Kenny Omega get hit with a bat?
They just watched so they could have a cool entrance.
Kenny was bait.
And then Hangman was drinking at the bar, and then he saw...
Now, Hangman's got a legit... He's drinking.
he's got a good reason.
He's tearing ass down that football field.
Okay, though. I thought that the brawl was great.
Yes.
I think it's fun.
But once again, how does this fight end?
With them standing, looking at each other...
Jericho said, let's leave, and they walk away from a fight. And now the guys are standing in the grass going, where are you going? Where are you going? Come back and fight.
It's a playground fight, dude.
Do you think it would have been more entertaining if they had a limo pull up on the field and they all get in?
Yes.
Yes, I would say.
That would have been awesome.
The limo pulls between them to kind of cut them off and they pile into it.
I'd have been okay with a Nitro ending, though. I would have been fine if they would have just...
Cut while they're still fighting. While they're fighting.
Yeah.
Why'd you show me the end?
Yeah. I don't have to know the end.
I'll say the shot where Hangman, they're all standing together except for Hangman, who just keeps walking.
Mm-hmm.
I like that shot quite a bit.
Right, right. And that could be the reason is because we still want to show separation with him and remind everybody that they're not...
Like we didn't watch the product.
It could have been done better.
Yeah, but overall...
Loved it.
AEW is always fun. You can have as many complaints as you want, but they're shooting for fun and they hit fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we're going to get fun out here in just a little bit. And so for Go Home Heat, copyright 2020.
New Japan Jared.
Me.
Jushin.
Thunderbrain. Oh, and KP.